You're listening to Back in the USSR.
Да здравствует 60-я годовщина Великой Октябрьской социалистической революции. Да здравствует героический советский народ и его доблестные вооруженные силы. Слава Коммунистической партии Советского Союза, руководящей и направляющей силе советского общества. Ура!
Brothers and sisters, you're listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. I am Siegfried, and I must apologize, comrades, for the little hiatus I took over the past 2 weeks. We had Thanksgiving there, which is not a holiday I recognize, but is nevertheless a statutory holiday in Canada. And then, of course, we had the election night last week with my pal Adam Donaldson keeping you up to date as the results came in. I want to spend some time talking about the election, but not much, given all the other, frankly, more important stuff going on around the world. But I'll still give my 2 cents. Basically, I was not impressed. Not much changed. The Liberals dropped to a minority, but were only short of a majority by 13 seats, which, as far as I'm concerned, blows all arguments about the NDP holding the balance of power right out of the water. Especially given that the NDP not only did not gain seats in this election, but actually lost seats, and now sits at 24 in the House of Commons. Not impressive. especially given all the promises of an orange wave of social democracy sweeping the country that we heard. They didn't even get a single seat in the GTA, which the Liberals managed to retain a lock on. Now, of course, I'm happy that the Conservatives didn't win, although they certainly gained too many seats for comfort and won the popular vote, which is even more disturbing. It's true that the far-right People's Party gained no seats, and that racist asshole Maxim Bernier lost his seat in Quebec. But the struggle against fascism is far from over in this country. This loss might take the wind out of their sails for a bit, but they'll be back. And I still remember how the local PPC candidate actually got applause at the Guelph Wellington Social Justice Coalition debate at the Italian Canadian Club on September 26th of this year, which was the most liberal debate venue in town, effectively, and how one of the organizers actually tried to justify giving a platform to the far right when I called him out on it. I still remember how friends of mine were threatened with doxing and legal action when they tried to block the same far-right candidate from participating in another debate. So this campaign has been really personal for me, and I'm happy to say that I fought against the fascist presence in the city and stood shoulder to shoulder with my comrades in that crucial struggle. I was also Juanita Burnett's campaign manager for the Communist Party in Guelph. And I'm just going to say that me and her did a pretty damn good job for what was essentially only a two-person team running this election. You know, it's like, you know, we few, we happy few, right? I mean, to quote William Shakespeare's Henry V right there, you know, we few, we happy few. There's still so much more that needs to be done. So much more that needs to be done. Trudeau still plans to go ahead with the Trans Mountain pipeline and other reactionary policies and projects that he has. He still plans on running roughshod over Indigenous land rights. And even with a minority government, it will take a strong movement in the streets to stop him. And that's really where the struggle moves right now. In the wake of the election, the struggle moves into the streets. And we need to remember that. We need to be fighting now. And this is where we need to be right now. So I want to do a little bit of a musical interlude right here. And I think this is kind of an appropriate song that I have chosen. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
You kick him in the head and you kick him in the down. And you don't serve the people.
This is in the back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. That was Midnight Oil with My Country, and that was followed by Handsome Furs with Serve the People. Two songs which I think are appropriate in the wake of the federal election that we just been through. But October 21st has come and gone. The election is over. And I'd like to give more focus to what's been going on around the world. First of all, in Palestine, 95 unarmed civilian protesters were shot by the Israeli army in Gaza on Friday, October 25th. 43 of them were children, two were paramedics, and one was a journalist. None of the main political parties in Canada have budged in their support for the apartheid state of Israel, and none have come out in support of BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions. I feel that should be pointed out. The Communist Party is one of the few parties which has actually taken a stand on that. And there's been a lot more going on around the world. Earlier this month, Ecuadorian President Moreno was forced to back down on a series of austerity measures that he was pursuing with the blessing of the IMF, because the working class and indigenous peoples of the country would not stand for it and took to the streets in the tens of thousands. In particular, thousands of indigenous protesters converged on the capital, Quito, from the north and from the south, forcing the president to flee to the coastal city of Guayaquil and declare martial law, which failed to stop the protests. He was ultimately forced to back down and withdraw the austerity measures, which had spurred labor unions to call for national strikes starting on October 3rd. This is a major victory for working class and oppressed people, the fact that the Ecuadorian president was forced to back down in that way from the pressure of working class and indigenous people in that country taking a stand, coming out into the streets in their tens of thousands. Last Friday, over 1.2 million people gathered in Santiago, the capital of Chile, to demand the resignation of that country's right-wing IMF-friendly president, who had also introduced an array of austerity measures, in particular a hike in transit fees that would have consumed upwards of 20% of the monthly wages of the average worker in Chile. But that was just the straw that broke the camel's back, leading to the biggest wave of protests to hit that South American country since the downfall of the dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet. And the government's response to the protests was in many ways just as brutal. Martial law was declared, the military deployed in the streets. Chile's interior minister on Saturday acknowledged that 20 people have died. In addition, according to the National Institute of Human Rights, 3,162 people have been arrested. 343 of them were minors. Until Friday night, 997 citizens were injured, 437 of whom were shot by security forces. And that number is almost certainly much higher. I'm going to post a recent Guardian article entitled "100 Shot and Beaten as Chile Takes to the Streets" to the show's blog, to Back in the USSR's blog, so you can read about it. You can read about what these brave protesters are facing. Suffice it to say, they need our solidarity now, brothers and sisters. And I know that there have been a number of solidarity actions in Toronto recently that comrades of mine from the Communist Party have participated in. And there is a song. There is a song that the protesters in Chile are singing in the streets as they fight for justice and for their livelihoods. It's called "El Derecho de Vivir en Paz." And the basic translation of that is "the right to live in peace." It was written by Victor Jara, a Chilean communist singer-songwriter who stood up against the CIA-backed Pinochet dictatorship in 1973 and was tortured to death. But the people of Chile remember and draw inspiration from him and from the others who fought against capitalist tyranny in their country. And this is the song. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
El derecho de vivir, poeta Ho Chi Minh, que golpea de Vietnam a toda la humanidad, ningún cañón borrará el surco de tu arrozal. El derecho de vivir en paz. Indochina es el lugar. Más allá del ancho mar, donde revientan la flor con genocidio y napalm, la luna es una explosión que funde todo el clamor, el derecho de vivir en paz. dan la flor con genocidio y napalm. La luna es una explosión que funde todo el clamor, el derecho de vivir en paz. Y ojo, nuestra canción es fuego de puro amor, es palomo, palomar, olivo del olivar, es el canto universal, cadena que hará triunfar el derecho de vivir en paz. La, 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 la.
Listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU, and that song by Victor Jara, The Right to Live in Peace, El Derecho de Vivir en Paz, was written during the Vietnam War, and you might have noticed that it celebrates the resistance of the Vietnamese people against the American Empire, as well as the leader of Vietnam, as well as the leader of Vietnam's anti-colonial struggle, Ho Chi Minh. There are many people in the world today, brothers and sisters, who are fighting for the right to live in peace. You know, in Chile, in Ecuador, on indigenous territories in Canada, in Lebanon, where mass protests have erupted in recent days against capitalist rapine and official corruption, and in Iraq, where more than 200 protesters have given their lives in recent days to overturn the corrupt system that was forced on that country in the wake of the 2003 invasion by the U.S. Empire. Earlier this year, similar protests took place in Sudan and brought down the government there. Protests are ongoing in Haiti, where the protesters are not only fighting to overthrow a corrupt president, but also to overthrow the neocolonial order that was imposed on the country by the United States, Canada, and other imperial powers after the 2004 coup that ousted the democratically elected progressive president Jean-Bertrand Aristide. Struggle isn't comfortable. It isn't comfortable, brothers and sisters, especially when you are up against a superpower and a global capitalist order armed to the teeth and not afraid to shoot to kill. Those who stand up for justice, for dignity, and for survival are brave people indeed. And these are the people that the Irish hunger striker Bobby Sands celebrated in his iconic poem, The Rhythm of Time. And I'd like to read it for you now. He wrote this poem in prison on toilet paper that he then smuggled out. And that's how we were able to read it today, you know, the fact that he smuggled that out of prison. The Rhythm of Time. There's an inner thing in everyone. Do you know this thing, my friend? It has withstood the blows of a million years and will do so to the end. It was born when time did not exist, and it grew up out of life. It cut down evil, strangling vines like a slashing, searing knife. It lit fires where fires were not, and burnt the mind of man, tempering leadened hearts to steel from the time that time began. It wept by the waters of Babylon, and when all men were a loss, it screeched in writhing agony, and it hung bleeding from the cross. It died in Rome by lion and sword in defiant cruel array, when the deathly word was Spartacus along the Appian Way. It marched with Wat the Tyler's poor, and frightened lord and king, and it was emblazoned in their deathly stare as e'er a living thing. It smiled in holy innocence before conquistadors of old, so meek and tame and unaware of the deathly power of gold. It burst forth through pitiful Paris streets and stormed the old Bastille, and marched upon the serpent's head and crushed it neath its heel. It died in blood on Buffalo Plains and starved by moons of rain. Its heart was buried at wounded knee, but it will come to rise again. It screamed aloud by Kerry Lakes as it was knelt upon the ground, and it died in great defiance as they coldly shut it down. It is found in every light of hope. It knows no bounds nor space. It has risen in red and black and white. It is there in every race. It lies in the hearts of heroes dead. It screams in tyrants' eyes. It has reached the peaks of mountain high. It comes searing across the skies. It lights the dark of this prison cell. It thunders forth its might. It is the undauntable thought, my friend, that thought that says, I'm right. Listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. That was B.I.K. That was the Monsters, Devils, and Strangers, which is a song that was done by a group of prisoners in Northern Ireland in the early 1990s. It's from an album called Music from the Blocks. These people recorded that song in prison while they were fighting for the liberation of their people against British colonization in Northern Ireland. And Bobby Sands, the author of The Rhythm of Time, that poem which I recited for you there, he was only 27 years old when he gave his life on hunger strike in 1981. Taking a stand against the British colonization of Northern Ireland and their attempts to criminalize all resistance to that colonialism. He never surrendered. And neither are the peoples of the world from Chile to Iraq who are rising up against the capitalist monster that threatens to devour their lives. You know, threatens to devour their lives. And all that they hold dear. And I want to express internationalist solidarity to all of them. And we must remember the role that we have to play here, brothers and sisters. For we must fight against imperialism, capitalism and colonialism from the belly of the beast. That's really what we need to do, like here in Canada. And I want to just do another piece by Bobby Sands, another piece that he wrote in prison. And it's called I Fought a Monster Today. I fought a monster today, and once more I defeated the monster's army. Although I did not escape, I survived to fight another day. It was hard. Harder today than ever before, and it gets worse every day. You see, I am trapped, and all I can do is resist. I know someday I will defeat this monster, but I weary at times. I think and feel that it may kill me first. The monster is shrewd. It plays with me. It humiliates me and tortures me. I'm like a mouse in comparison to this giant. But when I repel the torture it inflicts on me, I feel 10 feet tall, for I know that I am right. I know that I am what I am, no matter what may be inflicted upon me. It will never change that fact. When I resist, it doesn't understand. You see, it doesn't even try to comprehend why I resist. Why don't you give in to me? It says. Give in to us. The monster's army jibs. My body wants to say, yes, yes, do what you will with me. I am beaten. You have beaten me. But my spirit prevails. My spirit says, no, no, you cannot do what you want with me. I am not beaten. You cannot do what you want with me. I refuse to be beaten. This angers the monster. It goes mad. It brutalizes me to the point of death. But it does not kill me. I often wonder why not. But each time I face it, death materializes before me. The monster keeps me naked. It feeds me. But it didn't feed me today because I had tried so hard to defeat me and failed. This angered it once more, you see. I know why it won't kill me. It wants me to bow before it, to admit defeat. If we don't beat it soon, then it will murder me. Of this I am certain. It keeps me locked up in a dark, smelly tomb, and it sends its devils to keep me on edge, to keep the torture going. Each time the door of my tomb opens, the black devils attack me. They nearly won yesterday. It was inhuman. They beat me into unconsciousness. I think, is this really happening to me? And can this happen in this day and age? Monsters do not exist, nor do devils. There cannot be so many devils. I'm mad. Yes, that's it. I'm insane. But my pain, suffering, and grief are real. It must be all real. No, I'm right. I know I'm right. I must resist. I have nowhere to run. My tomb may be my grave. I'm surrounded by a barbed wire jungle. The monster roars at me, "You shall never get out of here. If you don't do as I say, I shall never release you." I refuse. My body is broken and cold. I'm lonely, and I need comfort. From somewhere afar, I hear those familiar voices which keep me going. "We are with you, son. We are with you. Don't let them beat you." I need to hear those voices. They anger the monster. It retreats. The voices scare the devils. Sometimes I really long to hear those voices. I know if they shout louder, they will scare the monster away and my suffering will be ended. I remember, and I shall never forget, how this monster took the lives of Tom Ash, Terrence McSweeney, Michael Gogan, Frank Stagg, and Hugh Coney. And I wonder each night what the monster and his devils will do to me tomorrow. They always have something new. Will I overcome it? I must. Yes, I must. Tomorrow will be my 740th day of torture, an eternity. Yes, tomorrow I'll rise in the H blocks of Long Kesh. Yes, tomorrow I'll fight the monster and his devils again. And that was Bobby Sands. One of his writings when he was in prison, up against a lot of black uniformed British prison officials, and the kind of brutality he experiences. Just, you know, I would have you read his writings from prison for yourself to understand what that's like. To be in the belly of the beast and still be resisting. And this is what we must do, brothers and sisters, as we fight in the belly of the beast in the capitalist West, in the imperialist West, as we stand up against colonialism, capitalism, and imperialism here. We have a responsibility to the rest of the world. We need to stand strong. We need to stand firm. As Black Panther leader Fred Hampton used to say, "Peace if you're willing to fight for it." And Victor Jara of Chile, whose song I played for you earlier, that song which was titled "The Right to Live in Peace," he was willing to fight for it. He was willing to fight for that peace, that justice for all human beings. And so must we all. So must we all. Solidarity, brothers and sisters, solidarity. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
Victor Jara of Chile lived like a shooting star. He fought for the people of Chile with his songs and his guitar. His hands were gentle and his hands were strong. Victor was a peasant boy, barely 6 years old, when he sat upon his father's plow and watched the earth unfold. His hands were gentle and his hands were strong. When the neighbors had a wedding or one of their children died, his mother sang all night for them with Victor by her side. Her hands were gentle and her hands were strong. He grew up to be a fighter, stood against what was wrong. He learned of people's grief and joy and turned it into song. His hands were gentle and his hands were strong. He sang for the copper miners and those who farmed the land. When he sang for the factory workers, they knew Victor was their man. His hands were gentle and his hands were strong. He campaigned for Allende and he canvassed night and day, singing, take hold of your brother's hand, the future starts today. His hands were gentle and his hands were strong. When Pinochet took Chile, they arrested Victor then. They caged him in the stadium with 5,000 frightened men. His hands were gentle and his hands were strong. Victor picked up his guitar, his voice resounded strong. He sang for his comrades until the guards cut short his song. His hands were gentle and his hands were strong. They broke the bones in both his hands, beat him on the head, tortured him with electric wires, then they shot him dead. His hands were gentle and his hands were strong. Victor Jara of Chile lived like a shooting star. He fought for the people of Chile with his songs and his guitar. His hands were gentle and his hands were strong. His hands were gentle and his hands were strong.
Conocer a Martí y a Fidel,
a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quiere conocer los caminos del Che,
a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quiere tomar ron pero sin Coca-Cola,
a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quiere trabajar en la caña de azúcar,
a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
En un bariquito se va al vaivén,
a Cuba, y a Cuba iré. Cuba iré.
Si quieres conocer a Martí y a Fidel,
a Cuba iré.
Si quieres conocer a Martí y a Fidel,
a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres conocer los caminos del Che,
a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres tomar ron pero sin Coca-Cola,
a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres trabajar en la caña de azúcar,
a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
En un barquito se va el vaivén,
a Cuba, y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres conocer a Martí y a Fidel, si quieres conocer los caminos del Che,
a Cuba y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres tomar ron pero sin Coca-Cola,
a Cuba y a Cuba iré.
Si quieres trabajar en la caña de azúcar,
you're listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. Did a couple of songs right there. We had Christy Moore with Victor Jara. Christy Moore is an Irish singer. And that was a song he did in tribute to Victor Jara, of course, who, like the communist singer-songwriter in Chile, who gave his life, right, in the struggle against the CIA-backed right-wing dictatorship, capitalist dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet in 1973. And, of course, I had to play another song by Victor Jara himself. That was his song, A Cuba, which, of course, is in tribute to the Cuban Revolution. And so the way I'm feeling right now, I feel like I want to end the show with a talk. What Michael Parenti, the Italian-American radical scholar, the talk which he gave, a little speech he gave on the Cuban Revolution back in 1986. But what he says there really resonates to this day about like why people rise up, why people fight, why people risk their lives fighting against this, the brutal systems that they face, right? Like in say, capitalist Chile or capitalist Ecuador and these kind of places, capitalist Iraq, you know, why they fight, why they risk their lives. And he's really, you know, speaks to that, like why people are fighting and the spirit there and the gains, which, of course, they win through revolutionary struggle by doing what they do. So I'd like to end the show with that. And I've already, you know, said, expressed my solidarity, I feel like, with the people who are struggling around the world. And the people who are struggling within this country as well. Like the indigenous people, the working class people, the oppressed people who are rising up right now, the racialized people, LGBTQ people who are fighting back in this country as we speak right now. I want to express my solidarity with all of them. And just say, like, my internationalist solidarity with those who are struggling all around the world right now for survival, for dignity, for justice. All these things go hand in hand. I want to express that solidarity, and I want to carry it forward on this show. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR. I want to end here with Michael Parenti's talk about the Cuban Revolution. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
You could look at any existing socialist country, if you don't want to call them socialists, call them whatever you want, post-capitalist, whatever, I don't care, call them camels, window shades, doesn't matter, as long as we know the countries we're talking about. If you look at any one of those countries, And you can evaluate them in several ways. One, comparing them to what they had before. And that to me is what's very compelling. That's what's so compelling about Cuba, for instance. When I was in Cuba, I was up in the Escambray, which is like the Appalachia of Cuba, very rugged mountains, people very poor, they were. And I said to this campesino, I said, do you like Fidel? And he says, si, with all our souls. I remember his gesture, with all our souls. I said, why? And he pointed to this clinic right up there on the hill, which we had visited. He said, look at that. He said, before the revolution, we never saw a doctor. If someone was seriously ill, it would take 20 people to carry that person, because you'd go day and night. It would take 2 days to get to the hospital. First, because it was far away, and second, because you couldn't go straight. You couldn't cross the latifundio lands. The boss would kill you, so you had to go like this. And often when we got to the hospital, the person might be dead by the time we got there. Now we have this clinic up here with a full-time doctor. And today, a doctor in Cuba, when you become a doctor, you've got to spend 2 years out in the country. That's your dedication to the people. And a dentist who comes one day a week. And for more serious things, we're not more than 20 minutes away from a larger hospital. That's in the Escambray. So that's freedom. We're freer today. We have more life. And I talked to a guy in Havana who says to me, before, all I used to see here in Havana, you call this drab and dull. We see it as a cleaner city. It's true, you got the paint is peeling off the walls, but you don't see kids begging in the streets anymore, and you don't see prostitutes. All we used to have was prostitutes. Prostitution used to be one of the biggest industries. And today, this man is going to night school. He said, I can read. I can read. Do you know what it means to be able to read? Do you know what it means to be able not to read? I remember when I gave my book to my father, I dedicated a book of mine, Power and the Powerless, to my father. I said, to my father with my love. Gave him a copy of the book. He opened it up, looked at that. He'd only gone to the seventh grade. He was a son of an immigrant, a working class Italian. And he opens the book and he starts looking through it and he gets misty-eyed, very misty-eyed. And I thought it was because he was so touched that his son had dedicated a book to him. That wasn't the reason. He looks up to me and says, I can't read this, kid. I said, that's okay, Dad. Neither can the students. I mean, that's not something. I mean, don't worry about that. I wrote it for you. I mean, it's your book, and you don't have to read it. You know, it's a very complicated book, academic book. He says, yeah, I can't read this book. And the defeat that man felt. That's what illiteracy is about. That's what the joy of literacy programs is. That's why in Nicaragua you got people walking proud now for the first time. They were animals before. They weren't allowed to read. They weren't taught to read. So you compare a country to what it came from with all its imperfections. And those who demand instant perfection, the day after the revolution, they get up and say, are there civil liberties for the fascists? Are they going to be allowed to have their newspapers and their radio program? Are they going to be able to keep all their farms? The passion that some of our liberals feel, the day after the revolution, the passion and concern they feel for the fascists, the civil rights and civil liberties of those fascists who were dumping and destroying and murdering people before. Now the revolution has got to be perfect. It's got to be flawless. Well, that isn't my criteria. My criteria is what happens to those people who couldn't read. What happens to those babies that couldn't eat, that died of hunger? And there, that's why I support revolution. The revolution that feeds the children gets my support. Not blindly, not unqualified. And the Reaganite government that tries to stop that kind of process, that tries to keep those people in poverty and illiteracy and hunger, that gets my undiluted animosity and opposition.